two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network. Yes. Does this take you back to high school?
Yeah.
Was this a pregame ritual?
Yep.
Enter Sandman.
Eighth grade, freshman year. Right in there. Would have been a freshman year thing? 91, 92?
Yeah, right around there, probably. Yeah, I want to say 90. Yeah, 92. Sounds about right.
It was an absolute must. No question about it. Still one of my... It's
hard to believe that song's over 30 years old.
Heavy metal, it's still, in my opinion, it's the best heavy metal. Now, when you talk about rock bands or hard rock, and I don't know if they don't classify as hard rock. Is hard rock different classification than
Enter
heavy
Sandman
metal?
Enter Sandman released 1991.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Is it classified hard rock?
Because, I would think so, yeah.
Because if we're talking heavy metal, and there's not a lot of heavy metal bands that I love, but I love Metallica. Love Metallica. Somehow they make all the craziness come together in beautiful harmony. And I'm serious about that. Metallica still brings beautiful harmony, even though they're slamming on guitars, slamming on drums, screaming into mics. It all sounds beautiful harmony to me. Which I can't say that for many heavy metal bands. I'm not a heavy metal guy.
No, I'm not
like
either.
Like Slayer, Slipknot.
Five Finger Death Punch.
I don't like Five. I'm not a like, you know, Napalm Death, Lamb of God. Like, those aren't heavy metal bands that I like.
Slipknot.
Nope. Don't like it. Clown Posse. The Insane Clown Posse. Nope. I think I've named every Pantera. Nope.
Oh, there you go. Good pull.
Yeah. No, none of those. Henry Rollins. Nope. Don't like him at all. And by the way, I know most of these because I used to watch Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
And remember they'd play the,
see, now they'd that's a show that needs to come back. Are they doing another run of Beavis and Butthead? No, I'd heard they were somewhere.
They are?
Let's hope so. But it's got to have the videos, though.
That's what made it great.
If you bring it back, but you don't do the videos, then I'm not down. It's
no,
got to be.
That's what made it great.
Got to be the two of them just watching videos.
Those two dorks sitting on a couch, just completely lazy and disgusting. Which is sad because I feel like at that point in our country, history, a lot of kids took those as role models, and that's what they did with their life. It's like, man, that was supposed to be a deterrent.
What not to do.
Yeah.
Instead of what to do.
Like, they were trying to glorify those two. They were trying to show you what happens if you're just a couple of dorks that never mature.
Meanwhile, you got people like, that looks kind of fun. That's how I think I'm going to live my life now.
Maybe I'll pull my head over my shirt and yell, I need TP and watch
a lot of
music videos.
Yeah, that's maybe. Reel that back a little bit.
And kicks me square in the cock.
You're just going to have to live with it for today.
No, I'm not.
Let me tell you, as somebody that's lived through this, it's going to be really bad for today, might throughout the rest of the week, and then it'll taper off when he loses interest. But today, it's probably going to be around for
kick
good.
Him.
I'm going to need you to mess up on something, Scotty. I need you to.
Oh, it'll happen. Don't worry.
I need you to take the spotlight off me. But Metallica.
But that's, you know.
My jam.
That's a real kick to the, you know what, that's for sure.
Colton just tweeted at you, Scotty. He said, Beavis and Butthead will be returning this year with a brand new movie and more on Paramount Plus. No exact date yet, but soon. They need some time to get back in shape. They're showing what Beavis and Butthead would look like today in a characterization, and it is not pretty. look how they would represent them as the adult male.
I love it. All right, so Hans, what do you think the future of the Jazz looks like? So it's November, late October, early November. Jazz are opening up the 2022-2023 season. Is Quinn Snyder, Donovan Mitchell, and Rudy Gobert on that sideline for the Jazz?
You know, I hate to go against the grain on things because I do feel like there is a growing sense that in some way, shape, or form, that nucleus is going to be pulled apart. Something's going to happen and something's going to be changed. I just recently read through an entire report this morning from an NBA insider that said he believes that Quinn Snyder, Donovan Mitchell, and Rudy Gobert will all be back together for another season.
Yeah.
I think that the easier thing for an organization to do is to run it back. I think that's the easier thing. But, you know, we just had a great conversation with an NBA insider that had worked in the Boston market for years. And he's fantastic at his job. And he said that he could see Quinn Snyder one way, shape, or form being removed or leaving as the head coach of the Utah Jazz because you might need a different voice or a different angle with Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. And it is easier to change the coach than it is the players.
Yeah.
I think if anything is going to happen because of Rudy Gobert's current contract situation and Donovan Mitchell's current contract situation, you know, Donovan's still got 3 years. Rudy's still got plenty of time. Quinn has one more year as a coach, contracted one more year as a coach, and then has a coaching option on that next year, the following year. I see all three being back together. Like, my first inclination is all three back together. If there's anything different with this Utah Jazz team, it'll be a different coach. But Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert will be back with the Utah Jazz. So my first gut feel is all three are back together. If that's not the case, it'll be Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell with a new coaching staff.
So about a week ago, I would have thought that one, if not both of those players are going to be gone. By the way, I am just adding up one of the major reasons why I don't think a lot is going to happen this offseason. Over the next 4 years, you are paying Rudy Gobert $167,251,200.
Give that number to me.
$167,251,200. That is over the next 4 years. That is guaranteed. That is what Rudy Gobert is going to be making from the Utah Jazz or somebody else. Now, that is, again, 4 years at the end of this. So how movable is that contract? I mean, we all seem, Rudy's gone. Okay. All right. And I don't deny that there's not demand for the services of Rudy Gobert, who's the best defensive player in the NBA right now, but is limited offensively. So is there a team out there that's looking at Rudy Gobert and saying, you know what? Bam. Let's line it up. Let's give him nearly, almost a a fifth of $1 billion, for crying out loud. Nearly $200 million over the next 4 years. Are you really ready to saddle up with that contract? There might be some teams out there that might be willing to do that, but what you're going to get in return isn't going to be great. And then you look at Donovan Mitchell. Now, there will be plenty of teams that will line up because he's owed about $96 million guaranteed over the next 3 years. He's got a player option, which obviously he'll opt out of, so he can get another bigger contract out of that. Mike Conley still has two more years at $22 and $24 million. That's going to be a next to impossible contract to move. Boyan's
falling off $10 million a year.
What's that?
From this year, right? Because he was at 30. Was he?
No, he got, this was year one of his 3 year deal. It was about, it went 21, 22, and 24. Oh, okay. The year before was
the 32. Okay.
Yeah. So you got Boyan, who's got one more year at 19. That's a movable contract. Clarkson's got one more year, but he also has a player option, which how he ended up with a player option on that is beyond me. That's probably movable. Royce is owed 18 over the next two. That's going to be difficult. It's not a huge number, but does anybody really want Royce O'Neal?
No.
And so
no, he hasn't helped with his value.
And so I have little doubt that Danny Ainge is wanting to hit the nuclear button and saying, or he's aggressive and he wants his team to be better. There's no doubt. But in his mind, it's like, I don't know what to do here. Like, I think Jazz fans are like, yeah, blow it up or do this. Okay, well, it takes two to tango. Like, you got to have somebody else who's willing to part with assets and take your assets in return. And I don't know who out there is willing to take on $170 million guaranteed dollars to Rudy Gobert, and you get back in return something that is likable for you.
Somewhat equitable.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's just, I have a hard time really seeing a picture in which this doesn't run back, for the most part, with what we saw last year. I just don't know. There's no draft picks. There's no trade exemptions. There's like nothing that the Jazz really have to work with here.
You know, going back years ago when my understanding of NBA athletes was maybe a little bit more limited, I would have said, oh, yeah, you make the move. Make it now. You know, this thing got toxic and these guys aren't getting along and blah, 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 and you make the move. But knowing what I know about the limited nature of NBA athletes and an ability to look at a number on a contract – and then look across the board and say, all right, where is a player that is equatable with this money that can still give us what we need on the court and will be interested in this Rudy Gobert contract along with our all-defensive player? It's not that easy. There just aren't that many pieces.
Yeah.
There aren't that many teams that are going to look at it and be like, oh, yeah, we'll take that all-defensive player. And we'll take that entire contract, and we'll give you one of our universal players along with one of our offensive players. It's just not – that doesn't happen in the NBA. It's very difficult to find those measurable trades. And I think this one with Rudy Gobert would be very difficult. I think there's a lot of teams that would love the idea of Rudy Gobert – standing behind their guards, allowing their guards to play more aggressive offensively, put their energy offensively, and then maybe have an aggressive angle defensively, but funneling it all to Rudy like the Jazz have done. But I don't know what the value is there for them. The only other thought I had on that, Scotty, was if a coach has watched Rudy Gobert and in their mind they're thinking, I could actually make him an offensive powerhouse. With these two things, this grouping that I've got on the court, if I can teach him this move and this move, or I can get him running at this angle and have the delivery at this angle. Like, if they got an idea, a design on how they could improve Rudy Gobert offensively to move him up to that 18 to 20 point a night guy, then I could see them being like, all right, now it's worth it. We get that defensive presence. And we're going to get this point production. Now it's worth it.
Well, and also, too, maybe not developing his offensive game because I don't think there's a lot to develop, but getting him in a system where you've got, hey, Luka throwing him lobs over and over.
That's essentially what I mean.
Yeah.
Or teaching him one more under the basket move that is reliable. Because, yeah, you're not going to teach him a jump shot. You're just not going to do it. He would have learned it by now. He would have found the jump shot,
yeah.
The bank shot. You know, even just going to the Tim Duncan or Big Al push shot, whatever it is, it's just not going to be there.
What did Al call that stupid shot of his? Was it the Wheezy or something like that?
It was the Wheezy. I think it was the Wheezy.
Is that right?
That sounds right to me. And it was the worst. Man, I hated it.
Well, I felt bad for him. Like, he didn't help himself with a lot of things. And then also, he had to be the guy to take over for Boozer and Darren and kind of be the face. And he wasn't ready for that. And I don't think he really wanted it.
Well, and Jazz fans took all their hopes and expectations and put it on Big Al.
Yeah. And then you got Tyrone Corbin, who's the best human being on the planet, but not a particularly good NBA coach. And it was a bad fit.
Was that the same time they rolled in Mo?
Could have been, yeah. That sounds about right.
Because I remember Mo came in with heavy expectations. The poor guy was like looking around like,
what did I get myself caught up?
You guys, you've seen me play, right? Everybody, you know what to expect from me, right?
Like, I'm not going to be a 25-point-a-night guy, right? I've been in this league for like 15 years. You know what you're getting.
Man, those were some rough times. But yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
If a coach sees something, some offensive design with Rudy, but do you think they do? Do you think there's a coach out there that's like, I mean, that's untapped offensive potential?
The dude's 30. Like, he's 29 right now. He's going to be 30. Like, you are who you are at this point.
And he's been running next to Mike Conley. You can't tell me that Chris Paul can do more with Rudy Gobert than Mike. Maybe. But it feels like Mike Conley is pretty decent at running in pick-and-roll sets.
Honestly, he was at his best when you had Ingles throwing up alley-oops to him.
Yeah, Joe was... At least he and Joe felt like a really solid connection.
Yeah.
But you ask me how I see it. How do you see it?
I think there's a – I think – and again, this is me speculating because everybody wants to claim they have inside info when they really don't. But I will say this. I have no inside info. I think Quinn probably shuts it down. I don't know if he's with another coach. I think he probably might chill for a year. I think the Jazz are going to put the full court press on him to come back. So that's why I think there's a good chance that he comes back. But I also think that I could see him with the surgery and the anguish over the last few years and just the physical toll. He'd be like, you know what? I'm just going to chill for a year and then I'll figure out what I want to do. And he's a bit of a nomad. Like, this is not uncommon for Quinn Snyder.
In that case, if it was Quinn, I think we see Donovan and Rudy back together.
I do too.
I think we see just a fresh coaching perspective. I'm not saying it's better because I've got a lot of respect for Quinn, but I think there's going to be a fresh coaching perspective. It's like, all right, what's your angle with these two? How do you progress? I don't expect Mike Conley back. I do think that even though that's a tougher contract to trade, to move, I kind of feel like front office has to look at that and be like, we need more here. And it's not like you can go get more with that. And as you mentioned, it's not like you've got draft picks and great assets to attach to it. But it just – there was a really strange feel with Mike Conley in the postseason.
Yeah. All right, Hans and Scotty, Katie's with us. We're live here at Homie. And you're looking to buy, sell, whatever you need to do, Homie's going to get you taken care of. And there's a – I think there's maybe an impression out there, and you guys have done a great job in dispelling that, but somebody thinks, okay, I'm going to a website to sell my house. That means it's not going to be personal. I'm not going to be able to have any human interaction whatsoever. If I need something, I'm going to have to wait in queue online to ask a question. That's not the case with Homie at all.
At all, yeah, you're right. We have incredible agents that are going to help walk you through the whole process. So you go through the process, get on homie.com, and go ready to list your home. You're going to answer a few questions, and then an agent's going to give you a call, and they're going to start walking you through the steps of that of selling your home and listing your home. They're going to help you price your home. They're going to help you with negotiations. They're going to help you schedule that photographer. They're going to help get that lockbox and that sign on your house. They're going to help answer any questions you might have about, like, what do I need to do to get my house ready? What do I need to have done before I get my house ready to sell? So if you're in the process and like, hey, I have 3 more weeks left in my kids' school year. I really need to move before they start school up again in August. A ton of people are in that situation right now. head over to homey.com right now, enter your information, enter promo code The Zone, so you make sure you get that $500 off. And our agents are going to help walk you through the process and get started. It's never too early to start.
So, Katie, you were an agent, and you were doing well, and things were great for you. Why did you end up coming to Homey?
Yeah, so I was a real estate agent, and I was actually my kid's PTA president. And that's how a lot of people were using me, is through my kid's school. And I remember getting my first commission check, and I remember looking at that amount thinking, wow, that's a lot of money. Did I really earn that much money? Like, I didn't help when their basement flooded. I didn't help put the new roof on their home. I didn't help with the garden and the
make those difficult mortgage payments.
Exactly.
Every month.
And so, like, getting that first check was kind of a kick to the gut.
And where you're a homeowner, and you knew, you know, how much your equity meant to you. Yeah,
exactly.
I'll bet that was an eye opener.
Yeah, and I got into real estate because I love real estate. I love looking at homes. I live in Ogden. I love the historic homes of Ogden. I love going through those, and I really love helping people find their dream home. But when push comes to shove and I would get that commission check, I just didn't feel good with myself at the end of the day. And so listening to your show and listening to Johnny, our CEO of Homey Talk, the more and more I listened to him, the more and more I realized this is really what I believe real estate should be. And yeah, like back in 20 years ago, we didn't have apps. We didn't have the lock boxes. We didn't have, DocuSign. We didn't have all of these tools and resources that we do now in this day and age. And so the way we do real estate has changed. Why hasn't the way we pay our agents changed?
Well said. And
that's really where, like, I was like, you know what? I need to be a homie. Those are my people. I need to go over there. And that's really what brought me here. And seeing the change and the tools and the resources we're giving and empowering our clients with has been an incredible blessing to me.
And being a part of a $33 million worth of savings in a single year.
Yeah.
You know, you got to see that number, $33 million saved for those families.
And getting to hear the stories of what people are doing with that savings. Like, we have the family that ended up using their savings to get IVF treatments, and they have now a baby that they couldn't afford those treatments without the saving of that equity. And so hearing those stories and hearing how it's changing people's lives to be able to afford their dream home, or to get into a dream home, or to win that dream home, it's been a really powerful experience for me to be here.
Homey.com. Get there now. That's homey.com. Before we go to break, it is a Wednesday, which means it's a Win Ticket Wednesday.
This is your chance to win tickets.
Win.
It's a Win Ticket Wednesday. Wednesday. Caller number 12 right now at 855-340-ZONE.
Woo!
And you'll win tickets right here on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
Caller number 12 right now, 855-340-ZONE. That's 855-340-ZONE. You'll win a pair of tickets to see Jack White, the Supply Chain Issues Tour at USANA Amphitheater on June 10th, brought to you by Live Nation, your concert connection. Get your tickets now at livenation.com. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Joined by Dan Feldman, NBA writer for NBC Sports Pro Basketball Talk. You wouldn't be making major changes if you were Ainge. You would be tweaking this roster, not making major moves.
That would be the ideal if Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert have really, truly decided one or the other that they can't play with each other. Obviously, you got to go from there. I'm also believing that sometimes people think that and can reconcile. I'm open to trading either. You know, if there's a team that just thinks Rudy Gobert is the missing piece and is going to send me some great assets that can be helpful for winning around Donovan Mitchell, I'm open to that, and vice versa. I think the odds of getting a return for Donovan Mitchell that are going to justify trading him are very low. It's just so hard to get two stars like that. I wouldn't want to give up on it, but I'd be open to dealing them.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
It's time to spin the wheel and talk some sports. This is another edition of Sports Roulette with Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, live here at Homie, H-O-M-I-E, homie.com. Get there now. Time for another edition of Sports Roulette. We take some of the big storylines we've not had a chance to get to. We put on a roulette wheel. We spin it. And wherever that little ball lands is what we end up talking about. It's all brought to you by your good friends over at You First CU. For over 65 years, they've been part of your community. And while their name is changing, their commitment to you is not. Find out more at youfirstcu.com. All right. Lloyd, fire up that wheel.
BYU football players hosting a camp.
So, Scotty, moving forward, you know, we are definitely not going to sit here and advertise for these camps. And that's not what this is. This is just the first of these camps that we've seen, where name, image, and likeness has given these college football players the opportunity to, and you would hope, use their own minds and their own ingenuity to provide a camp. Not be pulled in and taken advantage of, because that's what we were trying to get rid of with this name, image, and likeness. They were already getting taken advantage of.
Yeah.
So keep the eyes in the back of your head on this one, college football players. Don't get taken advantage of. Make sure that it's your name, your image, your likeness, and that you're getting 95% of the take of anything that you're doing. And not getting taken advantage of. So I will never promote any of these events for these players, but it's fascinating to see BYU always kind of on the forefront of these ever-evolving things. They're always kind of pushing the envelope. Like, how far can we do it? This Built Bar thing, we'll get all of our walk-ons, we'll get them essentially scholarshiped. And you know, everything that they've done has been very advanced, and this camp is going down, I think, this weekend or next week or something, and you got five or six BYU football players that should be receiving a lot of money for it.
Let's hope they are.
Let's hope. And that's why I hope there's representation out there for these guys, but then a lot of times representation is taking advantage of you. You know, then they're like, well, I need 5% of everything I bring in. And then it's just, it's tough. You know, these college kids have been put in a position to be taken advantage of.
Yeah, which is, you know, and we've reached out to some players about doing, and we did a bunch of NIL interviews last year, and we'll do some again this year. Stay tuned on what that lineup's going to look like. But, you know, I would reach out to the players and say, hey, you know, look, we want to get this thing set up for you. And they'd be like, hey, man, that's cool. I want to do it. Here, can you work through my agent? I'm like, Why would you do that? Like, we could just set something up because your agent is then going to want, like, okay, and, you know, pay us, send the check to, you know, whatever company, and then they will turn around and then give a half of that, two-thirds of that back to the player, when in reality, we could just work out something, you and me, and be done with it, and you keep all of it.
Or that agent ends up squashing the deal because they come in and they're like, our guy is worth $1,500. And it's like, huh? No, never mind.
Yeah, and then we're just done. Like, yeah. I'm not negotiating with that.
Wait, what are you doing?
We think he's worth – I'm like, look.
We know what he's worth.
Let me tell you what. Joe Ingles was making this for 10 years on the radio station. Your player is not worth five times more than what we were giving Joe Ingles.
Exactly.
So calm that down a little bit.
Oh, and sports radio has been around a long time negotiating deals with professional athletes. Sports radio knows what money is deserved for a 10 or 15-minute conversation.
Yeah.
And it's like these agents get on and they'll get a little bit pushy with it. And they're like, well, our guy deserves this. And it's like, no, it's done.
No, he doesn't.
And then that guy misses out on X amount.
Yeah, because then we're, you know what we'll give you now? Nothing. Zero. So you went from something to nothing.
Well, it's a bummer because, and by the way, I do want to mention, because you and I have come across some good ones.
Yes.
There are good guys out there that are helping with these kids that I think they've got the best interest of the player in mind.
Yeah.
I think. I'm hoping. At least that's the way.
I mean, I'll even shout out, like, and I don't know how to pronounce his last name. I apologize. Carl Sakia or
Sequoia.
Yeah. Howard.
Yeah.
Is as good as anybody I've ever worked with.
Yeah.
He's incredible.
Incredible. No, I agree. And that's the exact name that I was thinking of.
Yeah.
There are representatives out there that I think have these kids' best interests in mind. I think. Now, there are some people out there that are very persuasive and make you feel one way, and it's the complete opposite, and that's how they make their money. You got to be weary of that. But you know, you've got a football camp that's going to be hosted out, I think, in St. George somewhere by BYU football players, and it by the way, and I saw the BYU logo, the BYU brand was represented in the advertisement.
Yeah, that surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, well, because I thought originally I thought these universities would be very judicious in making sure that their brand wasn't a part of a player's name, image, and likeness.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
100%.
Didn't you think that when this started that I thought universities made that pretty...
I thought that was a huge no-no, honestly.
Well, look, if...
And maybe something sneaked through the cracks there.
Well, if I'm a football player, I'm pushing it until I get a cease and desist.
Yeah.
You know, because I know my name is worth something, but that big block U or that Aggie or that big block Y, it's worth a lot.
Yeah.
And when I put that on a banner and it's like, hey, come be coached by me, that's different than just me in a T-shirt saying, hey, come be coached by me. You know, it's
with your thumbs up, just like that.
Yeah,
like
it's, hey, much more persuasive.
Who's got two thumbs and can coach D line? This guy right here.
So come out to St. George, and I'll show you. Like, but if you got the logo,
yeah,
it's actually a huge deal. So I just think that this whole thing has been eye-opening and very interesting.
All right, spin it.
I thought we were done with this.
Well, Scotty, you were just bringing this to my attention. So we've got a new postponement.
Oh, yeah. So there has been. When's the last time you saw a game get postponed due to COVID?
When is it?
I don't know. It's been a minute, but we do have one today.
Was there early NBA games?
I don't remember. Did we have NBA games get moved around? Probably in the early part. Because remember we had that huge surge in November, December. Yeah, like it was nasty. So, yeah, I do think there were some postponements. There have been no cancellations, but
feels like it's been 8 months.
Seems like it's been a long, long time since we've had any kind of postponement. But we have had one today in Major League Baseball as the Cleveland Guardians. Man, it seems weird saying that. A game against the Chicago White Sox postponed because of multiple positive COVID-19 tests within the Guardians organization. The game was postponed to allow for continued testing and contact tracing. Major League Baseball will provide a rescheduling update when it becomes available.
Wasn't it Cleveland that had a big issue? Remember when the baseball came back and there was a bunch of problems with Cleveland?
I think it was Cleveland and St. Louis.
Right.
I know St. Louis was having all kinds of problems too.
Yeah, Cleveland was like way in the mix of all that.
When are we going to get to a point, and I'm not saying we should be there, and I'm not saying that But I think eventually we're going to get there. Remember how, like, you know, in a post game, you know, a coach will be like, yeah, you know, our guy played so well tonight. He really fought through some stuff. He's been fighting through the flu, and it's been really rough on him. But, boy, he came and played really well. Are we ever going to get to a point where a coach after a game is like, you know what? You know, Johnny over here, man, he's been fighting COVID, but he worked through it, and now he played well and fought through it and really stepped up for his team tonight.
I want to say we'll probably never get to that.
You don't think so?
Not if the, you know, these strands are as aggressive and as deadly as we've been led to believe that they are. I would assume not. You know, if it feels like if an announcement like that was made now, that coach and that player would be canceled as quick as you could snap your finger with the crazy culture that we got. You know, it's temperamental culture. And I don't think that's ever going to change. You know, you'd get the people that stormed the yard and say, you're killing millions. And it would be, I think it would be pretty tough. I don't think we'll ever get there with that, with COVID.
I think it's going to be several years. We're going to be living with this thing, and hopefully with multiple vaccinations and everything like that, the overall potency of COVID diminished. Comes down to the point where it's treated like the flu.
Well, I do think that we are to the point now where many, many, many people are getting it and getting over it and are just fine. And then you still have that group that tests positive and love to put it out on every social media platform like, I can't believe it's finally happened to me. I got it today.
Well, like, especially
final goodbye.
Especially if you've got mild symptoms, like Bill Gates put out on Twitter, like, I've tested positive for COVID. I'm experiencing mild symptoms. Nobody cares, Bill. Like, get over yourself. Like, nobody cares. Like, you and me get it. Like, nobody cares. You know, if something bad happens, I hope, you know, people are like, oh, man, that sucks.
Yeah.
But, like, full honesty, you and I both got it at various points.
Yeah.
And did we go on social media and joke around about it? We joked around a little bit about it, but we didn't make some huge declaration like, hey, everybody who got COVID, feel bad for me.
Okay, I have a GoFundMe.
I need your prayers. Like, are you dying? No, I got mild symptoms. Okay, well, you know, prayers up for me.
Now, when I get home and my wife greets me, I'm like, oh, help me. Oh, help me. I just need to rest.
And by the way, I'm not, like, obviously this is a horrific thing and it's, you know, it's
no, yeah.
I'm not, but I'm saying if you've got mild symptoms, you know, just keep it to yourself. Just shut your mouth and isolate. And
it's just where we are.
Quit making a big deal out of it. You don't need to make some big social media, declaration to everybody about what you're dealing with.
You don't need to Bill Gates it.
Yeah.
There's just, I just think that there are different people out there that do need attention.
Yeah.
They're just hungry for the attention.
Those dudes need to get kicked in the...
I just give them the attention they need. Because some people just need the hands, the thumbs up. Kicks me square in the quad.
What? All right. Final segment next. Get you ready for Unrivaled straight ahead here on The Zone. Suck.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
Good for Rudy for saying, you know what? Maybe I'll never fit in. Maybe that's not what I get to be. Maybe that's not who I am. I'm just going to be Rudy Gobert now, and I'm going to run forward with that. It really could have broken him psychologically, and it didn't. And this is a kid who I imagine being the tall... We all remember the tall kid in school, especially the lanky tall kid. He wasn't a bully. He was the goofy-looking tall kid. He looked like an alien when he got to the NBA. He's turned himself into an Adonis. He's in crazy good shape. He's extremely handsome now. I bet you it's not easy being a black kid raised by a white mom, a single mom. I bet you that's really difficult. I bet trying to make it in the NBA, barely speaking the language when you got the U.S., was really hard. He's an outsider in basically every way, in ways he could never control, and has now found a way not let it define him.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Let's say we're all having a meeting, me, you, and Lloyd, and Nate Dowdle walks in and kicks me square in the quad.
What?
In the square in the quad. The quad. True. Standing
here beside you. Want so much to yeah.
Let's get it out of our system.
When Nate kicks, he doesn't mess around, man. He means business.
Let's get it out of our system.
Hey, can I give you an update on a really cool story
yeah.
real quick? So Lance Beckert, who is our Utah State color analyst for basketball,
yeah,
he is in dealing with, I don't know what's the worst stage, but the worst stage of kidney failure. Needed a kidney transplant in the worst way.
Has for some time.
Yeah. In fact, has been on dialysis for about a year now. And it was like Superman. Going to dialysis and then coming to Aggie games and calling games with me. This is a really good friend, really good dude. Well, Gordon Monson wrote the column about him saying that he needs a kidney and threw it out there. Well, apparently he had lost connection with an old friend of his from high school. His old friend stumbled across the story, read it, submitted his name, perfect match.
No, and yep. he's going to give him one.
And he's giving him his kidney. Surgery is later this month, so could not be happier for my buddy Lance. And hopefully that means he's back working Aggie games with me next year.
Jeez, I'm proud of his buddy who
yeah.
is going to do that for him.
You know, there's one thing about like letting a guy borrow your lawnmower or you know the weed whacker.
Would you guys you're
like,
give a kidney up for one another?
But when Kyle Whittingham says, give me that kidney.
Lloyd, it's a good question. Okay, so let me throw this at you, Scotty. I need a kidney, and I'm going to die without it.
I will give you my kidney.
Okay, but...
I wouldn't even think twice about it.
Okay, but would you give me the kidney... And then in the back of your mind, be like, I hope he pays me for this because it's worth about 30 grand. Or would you give me the kidney and be like, no.
No.
I would, and then when I go to hand you 30 grand, you're like, no.
I would not take your money, nor would you offer me money. You're like,
later on, though, Scotty, are you going to be like, hey, you owe me?
Hands would just be like, no, thanks. I'll just die. I'm not paying anybody for a kidney.
Can I get...
You, but
if Scotty came,
but it would be a little awkward. Where I'm like, hey, Hans, like, hey, look, you know, Donovan Mitchell just opted out of his deal. I need you to come in on a Saturday. And Hans is like, well, you know, like, I got the boat. We're heading out to Strawberry, and I'm like, well, I did give you a kidney.
Yeah, well, I did give you a kidney,
so you probably should come.
I'll tell you what, if you gave me the kidney, and then later you're like, hey, you know, that 15 grand, I would pop the sutures and I would pull the kidney out. And I'd throw it in your face.
And like, have it back.
Take it back. I don't even want it. Yeah. Oh, man. And or you know what would be awesome? So I give you a kidney, and, you know, we're going along, and then I start to have heart failure, and I'm like, hey, dude.
I need your heart. Yeah.
You remember that big up I did for you? I'm going to need your heart.
Like, well, I had two kidneys.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
I'm going to need you to jump.
An organ
cue this
for an
thing.
Organ. Come on, you know. You owe me.
Jump cue this thing.
Jump cue it.
All right. Well, this has been a heck of a show today. Katie's hanging out with us one more time from Homie Katie. I always feel like, in some way, shape, or form, on this final one, I feel like I should always apologize. But even more so today. This has been, this one got a
little
loose.
Sorry, Katie.
It's not. We're good. I'm okay. Used to it by now. It's been 3 years. I've got it. Don't worry about it.
Not her first rodeo.
Yeah, I listen to you every day.
You do some other remotes. You don't quite do remotes.
No, this is
like ours. You
got to
admit that.
Never have to talk about birthing on air generally. Yeah. When talking about selling a home, but here we are. So.
Hey, if you need a little extra money for a kidney, you can save that by selling a home through Homie. That's true, though. You know, like. We're talking tens of thousands of dollars. I know how much you saved my parents, and they could have bought a kidney with it.
I hope that they're not buying kidneys off the black market.
No, they're not.
But yeah, we can save you money, thousands of dollars. And if you do have medical bills or something going on in your life and you need to get the equity out of your home, or if you're looking to downsize, we can make sure that we're helping you save that equity. We're helping you win that dream home. We're helping you get 50% back in commissions and making sure that you're saving money, whether you're buying, selling, or refinancing, getting a loan. Whatever it is, we can help you.
Go to Homey.com. And again, you want your home, you need to get that home. Well, Homey's going to help make that happen for you. And when you're trying to sell your home, you want to hold on to as much equity. Again, you guys go out of your way to make that happen as well.
We do. And use promo code THEZONE to get $500 off our listing fee and sell your home for $3,000.
Homey.com. Get there now. That's Homey.com. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone, Unrivaled, up next.